Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
I'm glad to be a pastor instead of an undertaker. I'd rather be a preacher than a funeral director. Certainly there are perks to being the mortician. While many pastors and congregations wring their hands over declining membership, though they don't get repeat customers, the funeral business is always constant. And yet, funeral directors have to come face to face with unadulterated grief, unbridled sadness, abject hopelessness. People can largely conduct themselves ignoring death until they have to sit down in the funeral home with the undertaker. Then, there's no escaping the cold, hard reality of their own mortality as well. Death is real, and it hurts. It's little wonder, then, that funeral directors have to come up with all sorts of fictitious comfort to give to people in the hours of their deepest grief. She lives on in your heart now. He's an angel now. She was such a good person. He did so much that certainly, so much good that certainly he's in heaven now. Death is natural. This is a good end for him. None of that is true. It's all nonsense. Damnable nonsense. And none of it can do anything to assuage the real grieving of someone who has lost a loved one to death. Only the church has an empty tomb. When the first generations of Christians greeted one another, it was as we do throughout Easter, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Not love one another, be good people, love God, or any such moral platitudes. The church's greeting is the hope that she gives in funerals too. Christ Jesus is risen. Jesus died and he rose. As certainly as he possessed a real human body received from his mother Mary, as certainly as he was perfectly and completely human and divine, as certainly as Jesus had real flesh and blood, he died and he rose bodily. Soul and body rent apart in death and put back together in resurrection. Back from the dead, with a dazzling, glorified body and yet still bearing the scars, the marks of his crucifixion, Christ is risen. Only the church has an empty tomb. Even before the funeral director has to invent those false comforts at funerals, the world bids you distract yourself with all sorts of other temporary false comforts. Why do you fear wrinkles and gray hairs? Because they're signs of impending death. Signs that your funeral is one day nearer today than it was yesterday. Why do people pay thousands and more dollars for dangerous surgical procedures that will remove the evidence that, infected with sin, this body cannot live forever? Because you want false comforts. Anything that will distract you from the eternal things, from permanent things, and let you dwell on, contemplate, meditate on temporary things is good, the world teaches. If it feels good, do it. Seize the day. Live for the moment, like there's no tomorrow. Pleasure and profit, friends and family, toys and distractions, vacations and escapes. Anything can become a false source of comfort. But nothing. No pill, no promise, no pleasure, no escape, no indulgence, no temporary thing can fix this real problem. You are dying. Repent of ignoring your most pressing problem. Repent of trying to distract yourself. Repent of searching anywhere but here in the Lord's church for comfort and hope. Only the church has an empty tomb. And only the church has the cross. The news that Christ rose, the certainty of his resurrection, is only significant as the other half of the story that began, Christ has been crucified. Only the church has hope in the midst of death because her Lord has died for her. Because of the death of Jesus, the church can speak truths that could never come from the mouths of funeral directors. No funeral director who likes his paycheck would console a grieving family by saying, "Well, he finally got what he deserved." And yet, it's true. The wages of sin is death, the apostle proclaimed. Only sinners die. They don't have funerals for good people. They only have funerals for liars, cheats, self-lovers, murderers, angry men, scornful women, blasphemers, idolaters, adulterers, gossipers, despisers of God's word, rebels, thieves, greedy jerks, and more. But funeral directors are not privileged to be able to speak such precise truths. But the church speaks with a clarion voice the truth delivered to her: you deserve death and hell. But you needn't get what you deserve. Instead, the only sinless Son of God, the only perfect human who was also in his flesh perfectly divine, Jesus Christ, had a funeral. That is, he died. On the cross, the only one not condemned to die for his sin was made sin for you. He became the biggest sinner ever, as all the sins of all mankind were laid upon him. Jesus died to undo sin's curse, to take the consequence for your sinfulness upon himself. Only the church can stare death in the face with a sanctified sneer, because only the church has a Savior who died in her place. You have sins. You are a sinner. The church declares to you through her preachers, you deserve to die. These truths are inescapable. Every funeral testifies to your mortality, and nothing a funeral director can say can skirt the truth that one day they will have a funeral for you as well. But the church speaks another truth. You deserve death, the big death, the death that lasts forever, the one that separates you from God. But you do not and will not receive it. That death was given to Jesus instead. Only the church has the cross. Only the church, therefore, has forgiveness. Eulogies can extol the good memories of the person's life and praise all the good things that he did, while glossing over all those more sordid details, all the hurts and the wrongs and the evils he wrought against his family. Funeral sermons extol Christ, who bore all sins upon himself. The church is free to speak of sin because only she has the solution: forgiveness. The word of condemnation is brutally honest, but so is the word of forgiveness. The church alone can own up to the problem of death and sin because she alone in all the world has the solution. She alone has forgiveness. She alone has an empty tomb. And you, part of the Lord's holy church, you have this same forgiveness. You have the empty tomb. Do you not know that in the waters of holy baptism, you were joined into the very death of Jesus? At that moment, all the benefits of Jesus' death on the cross became yours to treasure. Death lost its power over you when you were joined into Jesus' death, because death never had any power over Jesus. "No one takes my life from me," he said, "but I lay it down of my own accord." At the same moment as Jesus gave you the benefit of his death, delivering to you the full forgiveness of all of your sins in holy baptism, he also made his resurrection yours. The new life that began in holy baptism will endure. It will never end, not even when we have to do your funeral. It will endure into eternity. Just as Jesus rose from the dead, leaving the empty tomb behind him, so he will raise you from the dead, leaving the powerless grave gaping open and empty behind you on the day when he returns and with a word wakes your body from the sleep of death, knits your soul back together with your body so that you are again, as he is eternally, a whole and complete person, raised triumphant from the dead. Only the church has the resurrection, a real resurrection, a bodily rising from the dead, which she gives to you in the waters of holy baptism. Only the church has an empty, destroyed, vacated tomb. Only the church has funerals that death hates, where words of certainty are spoken, where assurance of resurrection is delivered, where the good news of Jesus' death and resurrection is proclaimed to you. Only the church has a Lord who rose from the grave. Only the church has a Lord who promises, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood will live forever, and I will raise him up on the last day." Only the church has the medicine of immortality, the Lord's real body and blood, with which he feeds her members week after week until the day of his return. Only the church can give the sure and certain hope of the resurrection of the dead. Only the church gives this hope in the face of a world which is dying. Only the church has the empty tomb. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.